Hello, everyone. happy Thursday night. I started to say Wednesday, but it is Thursday, isn't it? This is Regina, and we are here now for the NTI discussion group. And I want to tell you all something. Next Thursday, I won't be here. I am flying next Thursday to North Carolina, which just reminds me I need to let my brother know so that I have a place to sleep. I hadn't thought about that yet. But I am flying to North Carolina, and the reason that I am going is I am going to meet V. Ganeshan. V. Ganeshan is Ramana Maharshi's grandnephew. And he was born and raised around Ramana Maharshi. I think Ramana Maharshi died when he was around 14. And I think he left, went off to college, had a professional role for a while. But at some point, he came back to Ramana Ashram, invited all of the old devotees of Ramana back, and basically took care of them until their death. So he's known an awful lot of devotees very, very well, of course, knowing Ramana Maharshi. Nope, not Asheville. It's what you would think, isn't it? But it's actually Asheboro. Asheboro, North Carolina, which is right near the middle of North Carolina. I used to live just down the road from Asheboro. In fact, one thing that I think is kind of funny is the place where V. Ganeshan is going is kind of an American outpost of Ramana Ashram. And it's right there in Asheboro, North Carolina. I used to live 30 minutes down the road, literally straight down the road. And I didn't know that this place was there. And I lived 30 minutes down the road when Inner Ramana came to me, and I wrote that book, Inner Ramana. So I think that's kind of funny that we were only 30 minutes away from a Ramana Ashram, an American Ramana Ashram, and I didn't even know it. So I joke now that, you know, if Ramana lived at the ashram, he didn't have to come far to talk to me. But of course, that is definitely a joke, because the inner Ramana is the same as the inner me and the same as the inner you. There's only really one true self. And so that true self is always wherever we are. And with that said, why don't we go ahead and start our NTI discussion group? Let's see, is Sharon here? I don't see Sharon. I thought she was the admin. I was going to tell her I'll send her a recording, but I will send it to both Sharon and Lynn so that somebody can play a recording during this time frame next week, and then I'll be back 2 weeks from tonight. So today, for the NTI discussion group, we're going to begin on page 25. We're in NTI Matthew chapter 11, and we are starting right near the end of NTI Matthew chapter 11 at verses 28 to 30. In fact, this is really the last part of the chapter. We just didn't have time to read that last week. So why don't I get us started? I'll read the last part of chapter 11. You carry your own burdens now. I did not ask you to pick them up, and I do not insist upon you carrying them. I am the one who asks you to put them down. There is nothing of value within the burdens that you carry. Truly, they are not worth their weight, for your burdens keep you from knowing you are free, and so they keep you from knowing your true self. For how can a free man know his self if he does not know he is free? Listen to me. Lay your burdens down. You will find no treasure there. So is there anyone here that would like to share on what I've just read before I share? All right, then I will tell you that my perspective has changed a lot since I wrote that paragraph. I remember as the scribe when this paragraph came about laying your burdens down, I didn't even know what my burdens were. So I didn't even know what they were. So the idea of laying my burdens down, that seemed like a burden. You know, that seemed like a burden. That seemed like a heavy burden to need to somehow figure out what my burdens were and how to lay them down. But now I see very, very clearly what my burdens were. And they were simply believing my mind. You know, whatever stories were in my mind. Again, at that time, I had stories in my mind related to finances, related to the fact that I didn't have a job because I was writing in TI. I had unworthiness stories in my mind, big unworthiness stories in my mind. I had stories in my mind about what it meant to be a spiritual person. And I had judgments in my mind about where I was succeeding and where I was failing. I'm sure there was so much more that I can't even recall anymore. I mean, I was most definitely burdened. But what's interesting is to note that the only burden that I was carrying, the only burden that anybody actually carries, is believing the stories in our mind. And sometimes it doesn't seem that way. You know, it seems like, for example, if you don't have a job and you perceive yourself as running out of money, it seems like there's more than the stories in your mind. You've got the burden of this actual situation where you're about to run out of money and you don't have a job. But that's not true. What I have learned since then is that when your mind is clear, and by clear I mean there aren't stories that you're listening to, you know, you don't have those burdens. When your mind is clear, there's this all is well feeling that is extremely natural. It's very natural. It's a part of who we are, I guess. Because when we don't have the burdens, there's this natural all is well feeling. And the natural all is well feeling doesn't need to know how things are going to work out. It just naturally knows that all is well. And so even though there may be a situation where there's no job and there's no money coming in, there also isn't a burden. Because the all is well feeling is there. The freedom is there. Everything's okay. One of the things we're going to be looking at soon, you know, within the next couple of weeks, is NTI Matthew chapter 13. And NTI Matthew chapter 13, if I'm remembering correctly, was that the right chapter? I think it was. I could be wrong. I'm not finding what I was looking for right now, so I could be wrong. But somewhere very, very soon. Oh, no, it's NTI. Yeah, it is NTI Matthew chapter 13. NTI Matthew chapter 13 is where I began to learn how to put my burdens down in a very real way. So we're very, very close to that teaching. And since we only meet once a week, you know, it means in the month of June, we should get to this teaching where we're learning how to put those burdens down. But when this came at the end of NTI Matthew chapter 11, I had no idea. It's like they were, like I said, I didn't even know what they were. How can you put down a burden when you don't know what it is? So that's the end of NTI Matthew chapter 11, and now we're going to move into NTI Matthew chapter 12. The first section we're going to read is verses 1 to 8. Is there someone here who would like to read? I see Dansa says she's looking for her book. All right, I will go ahead and read again. What are we reading? We are reading NTI, the Holy Spirit's Interpretation of the New Testament. We're on page 25, NTI Matthew chapter 12. I will read verses 1 to 8. Confusion is easy when you listen to the thoughts in your own mind. For those thoughts tell you that man is separate and guilty. As you look on the world with these thoughts in your mind, you will see separateness and guilt. But I tell you, that is confusion and not truth. I am here to help you lay down your confusion, that you may know truth. There is no separateness, and there is no guilt. There is only one, and so there is only innocence. What you see is not true, but I am here to show you truth. We're on page 25. Dan says, I guess you found your book. Is there anyone who wants to share on the paragraph that I just read? How about you, Jazz? You want to share?
I'm just being.
Okay, Dan, since the mic is yours.
It's weird because I've got that song in my head right now about, I think it actually says lay your body down, but I'm singing in my head, lay your burdens down. Mm. It's a very pretty song. I got some news today that there's some decisions to be made, and I'm really, just lay it down and don't worry about it. This is what's going in my head now. I mean, what's processing, excuse me. To just trust and...
Hi, Dan says, do you want to try the mic again? I lost you right after you said, just trust.
Okay, yeah, I got disconnected. Basically, that's it. I'm feeling a little disappointed about the way things are going. I mean, if they go the way that it looks like it might go, but I can just let that go, and then I can let it go, or I can just be upset. The choice really, you know, when I put it in those terms, the choice is really obvious. That's just an example, too. I mean, that's literal and spiritual. So I'm dropping the mic, thanks. Also, I have a really bad connection, so it just drops in and out. Sorry about that. I am dropping the mic now, though, intentional.
All right, I got that. You dropped the mic intentional. Yeah, you know, my internet connection for the last month has been less than it used to be, and we've tried a few things to try and boosted and we just can't. So I'm beginning to accept that that's just what is. But I'm wondering sometimes if I'm coming in and out because our internet connection is not good. Yeah, ours is dial-up, too, Dan says. That's all we have out here is DSL. We don't have anything else. So, yeah, I don't know if I really have a lot to say about this particular paragraph that I just read. Again, to me, you know, at least the first part of Matthew, probably all the way up to Matthew chapter 13, is really still quite introductory. Look how big, how thick this book is. So a lot of what's happening in the first part of Matthew is just kind of taking the beginner spiritual student and drawing them in their interest. And so it makes a lot of promises, but it's not yet to the point where it's giving you the specific information, the specific how-to. And here it is making a promise. It's making a promise that we are going to be taught how to lay down our belief in separation and guilt. And when we lay down our belief in separation and guilt, we will see everything differently. But it's just a promise at this point. That promise is fulfilled within NTI. If you really contemplate NTI and really practice NTI, you can lay down those beliefs. But at this point, it's just a promise. Let's move on to verses 9 to 14. Is there someone who would like to read that? All right, Dan says, thank you. The mic is yours.
You said 9 to 14, right? And page 24 or 25? Oh, there it is. All right. Sorry. If you choose to be blind, you will be blind. But blindness is your choice. Am I in the right place? Okay. I come to help you see if you are willing. There is so much I want to show you. I want to show you the truth of who you are, the sweetness of your freedom, and the glory of heaven. But you must choose to open your eyes. I cannot do that for you. Oh, that's beautiful. Dropping the mic.
Yeah, thank you. And you can see, again, this is a part of that drawing the spiritual student in. Drawing the spiritual student in so that the student is willing to be active in this process. The Holy Spirit is very, very clear here that if you choose to be blind, you will be blind. But blindness is your choice. Right? You have to choose to open your eyes. I can't do that for you. And so one thing we need to contemplate is how do we choose to open our eyes? And the only answer that I have to that question is through actual practice, through active involvement in our spiritual path. So, for example, one of the very first things we're going to learn in NTI, starting in NTI Matthew chapter 13, is how to let go of a thought. We're going to literally learn how to do that. We're going to be taught that. To just read how to let go of a thought, and even to mentally understand how to let go of a thought, but then to never follow up by letting go of a thought, that's choosing to be blind. We are opening our eyes by following through and practicing what we're being asked to practice. So after Matthew chapter 13, for example, assuming none of us knew how to let go of a thought yet, you know, right now on this side of Matthew chapter 13, we're ignorant. Like I said, when I wrote verses 28 to 30 and it said, you know, you're carrying your own burdens, lay your burdens down, I didn't even know what my burdens were. I certainly didn't know how to lay them down. But after Matthew chapter 13, I had that knowledge. I knew that my burdens were my thoughts, my belief in my thoughts, and I now knew exactly how to start letting go of that belief. So then it became my responsibility to follow through. That's what Spirit's saying, I can't do that for you, right? It's kind of like the old adage here in America anyway, that you can bring a horse to water, but you cannot make him drink. Well, Holy Spirit can teach us everything we need to know to let go of the beliefs in guilt and separation, but the Holy Spirit cannot make us practice and therefore cannot make us let go of the belief in guilt and separation. That's a responsibility we have to take on. And that's what this paragraph is telling us. And so it's a good time to kind of look within and kind of ask, you know, am I going to follow through on these practices? Am I going to give it my all, right? Or am I just going to read and talk about it, but just continue right on with all of my old habits, all of my old believing, and therefore just keep right on carrying all of these heavy burdens. And these burdens specifically are the belief in separation and guilt. I'll tell you that, you know, there are a lot of little beliefs that we have to let go of along the way, but the two big ones are the belief in separation and the belief in guilt. I call the belief in guilt the I am bad thought. And the I am bad thought is not only experienced as guilt, but it's also experienced as unworthiness. It's experienced as never being good enough. It can be experienced as shame. And then the belief in separation, I call the belief I am a person, right? I am a person. But those two beliefs, I am a person and I am bad, those are the two most challenging beliefs that we have to let go of, because those are the most deeply held beliefs. And those are the two primary beliefs that NTI has come to help us let go of. And so if we really want to let go of those beliefs, listening to NTI and then practicing what we're taught to practice, that's the giving our willingness. NTI says practice is willingness. Practice is willingness. Can you imagine that? You know, lots of people can say, oh, I'm willing, but they may never actually let go of a thought. You know, oh, I'm willing, but, you know, so-and-so over there, I know she's always talking bad about me and blah, 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 blah. I'm not really willing if I don't start looking at that story I have in my mind and letting it go in the way that I'm going to be taught in Matthew chapter 13. Willingness has to include what I'm going to call a change in behavior. And that change in behavior is the spiritual practices that we're taught, in this case through NTI. So if we aren't willing to practice what Holy Spirit is teaching us to practice, we aren't really willing, even though we may say that we're willing. If we're really, really willing, then we're really going to practice. That's the way NTI teaches it. That's the way the Bible teaches it too, Jesus in the Bible. Okay, I want to read what Dancer says here. She says, three frogs on a log are willing to jump off the log. How many frogs are left on the log? Three are left. How willing were they really if they didn't jump off? Yeah, they only became willing first. Yeah, but anyway, so that takes us to, we're starting at the very bottom of page 25, verses 15 to 21. Do we have someone who is willing to read that paragraph for us? Thank you, Nancy. The mic is yours.
Thank you, Regina. Boy, it's been one of those synchronicity nights tonight for me, because I've been getting a lot of intuitive thoughts about my burdens, quote-unquote, even asking spirit, you know, like, why do I still have this particular burden? I honestly can't remember what it was. And right away, the thought stream was like, and I know that you know what I mean. It's like, not my thinking, because it comes too fast. And it's not like words, but it's this, it's there like all at once. Mm-hmm. And it was, I can't take from you something that you won't let go of. And I was like, so it was very good for me, because I think I was believing that I was pretty open-fisted about a lot of these beliefs. But let's see what paragraph that I have come to read. You cannot hear me if you choose not to hear. My words may be clear to you, but meaningless to another. That is because you give meaning to all things by your choice. And you are free to choose the meaning of truth or to choose another meaning. But know this as you make your choice. A meaning other than truth is not truth. Therefore, can it be meaning? That is really beautiful. And that's exactly, I think, is that where I'm to end, Regina, or do I read that next sentence? I think I read that next sentence. Listen to me. I offer you truth. Share my words and know that they are yours also. For there is only one truth, and the truth belongs to all. So I had this experience at work where my work group participated in a little assessment of our strengths. It's this little 35-minute test that you do, or just choose one of these five that most describes you, and it's about finding what your strengths are. And so everyone took the test. There's about six or seven of us, and we all came up with these top five strengths. And so my boss had these two strengths. It doesn't really matter the definition, but one was called achiever and one was called maximizer. And that's kind of exactly how I see her, how I experience her. Another coworker had two of those same two strengths, achiever and maximizer. And I have quite a different experience of her. And I was very curious, and so I asked Spirit. I was like, this is so interesting, because both of these women have these two same strengths, and yet my experience is very different with both of them. I see them in one, I don't see them in another. And Spirit was like, well, because you have certain beliefs about this other person that you say, in your opinion, these strengths are really not present. Because you hold beliefs about her, and you believe those beliefs, and so you can't see them. You can't see. And I knew that was true. And I kind of never saw it as clearly you know, in kind of a real life situation until I started asking. And I say that I want to let go. I know there's a part in NTI that also says, like, do you see differences in your brothers, then you believe in separation.
Yes.
And so that's kind of saying exactly what you just said about the belief in separation is the belief I'm a person, and she's a person, and she's a person, and I can see how they stack up against one another, and I'm not, I think this test is baloney. But this is also very, very good for me to hear that a meaning other than truth is not truth. But I'm free to choose the meaning of truth or to choose another meaning. But it can't be meaning if it is not truth. And if I want the truth, if I want to know the truth, then I will lay these beliefs down. And I think it's beautiful that we started out tonight by Holy Spirit in your opening remarks about them being burdens, to see them as burdens. And what would it be like without the burden of belief? And to be willing to remove the meaning I've given things. I saw more in that situation with my boss and my coworker, because I saw a little deeper. Spirit showed me, it's like, because I see them as different, but who knows if the other one was the boss and the boss was the coworker, because I saw where I wanted different things from each person. I want from my boss, I wanted recognition and admiration, and from my coworker, I wanted to be seen as better. And I didn't see that that was part of holding those beliefs and what a burden that is. And now I'm learning that all that meaning was not the truth, and therefore it can't even be meaning. So exactly what am I doing throughout my day? All right, I'm going to let go of the mic.
Yeah, thank you very much, Nancy. Is there anyone else who would like to share on the paragraph that Nancy read? Of course, you guys also know A Course in Miracles. So you know the Course in Miracles workbook starts with lessons like, you know, I give everything I see in this room all the meaning that it has for me. And we do give a lot of meaning until we don't anymore. We give a lot of meaning. So, you know, Nancy was talking about work. You know, I can still remember back when I, at my last professional job, private healthcare systems, you know, I can look at the people that I worked with in my mind, and I can see the meaning that I gave each and every person, right? Some people I labeled as productive. Other people I labeled as, what's the word I can use for her? The person I have in my mind now. Her thinking was scattered. I perceived her as scattered. And then there were the slackers. Yeah, the slackers, the ones. I remember this one guy in particular. I swear to God, he got paid for doing nothing. And you know, there was all of this meaning, like the slacker in particular. That's a kind of an interesting story, because I really didn't like him. I resented him enormously. He was a manager in my company. I was a director, so I was actually a level above him. But he was a manager And he just did nothing. And it felt like one of the VPs was always protecting him. I don't know what the relationship was between these two men, but it seemed like this VP was always protecting him. And it didn't matter that this guy did nothing. He got paid just the same. And I remember I was on another workbook lesson. When I was contemplating the workbook lesson, the idea, I don't remember the workbook lesson, but the idea was something like, you know, everyone was the Christ, right? And that was the idea behind the workbook lesson. And I remember I was at lunch and I was walking out of the cafeteria. And as I was walking, I was contemplating my lesson of the day. And so I'm contemplating the idea that everyone is the Christ in whatever way it was showing up in that lesson. And I looked up and my eyes landed right on this guy that I called the slacker. And I heard clear as day in my mind, there's one. There's one, meaning the Christ. And that's when I recognized how harshly I was judging this man. And that my judgments were completely unfair, even regardless of the form. And I went over for the first time in 9 years and asked this man, his name was Walter. I asked Walter if I could sit down with him. And he said yes, and I sat and had lunch with Walter and had a nice time. So that was the day that I really laid aside the meaning I was giving, right, slacker. And I accepted the Holy Spirit's meaning, Christ. And I sat and had lunch with Christ Walter. but that's what this is, that's exactly what this is talking about. The meaning that we give, right? Slacker, scatterbrain, productive, you know, whatever meaning we're giving. Liar, cheater, lover, faithful. I mean, just think of all the labels you can put on people. All of those meanings are meaningless because they're not truth. But if you get a meaning, you know, similar to Christ, yourself, your true self, living awareness, you know, any of these meanings which really represent truth, those meanings have meaning. That's a pretty powerful thought. And that's not only true about people, that's true about situations. You know, we give different situations in the world different meanings. But there are also meanings that point to truth, like everything's perfect. All is well. Nothing can affect the truth of what I am. Right? These meanings have meaning because these meanings point to truth. So what NTI is asking us to do here is to notice that the meaning that we give, which is not the true meaning, can't be real meaning. Right? I mean, if it's not truth, how can it be meaning? It's actually imagination. It's actually imagination. So that's a pretty cool little reading there that Nancy shared with us. And I remember how it hit me. This was something I saw the truth of as the scribe when I wrote it for the first time. That was like, ah, that makes sense. If it's a meaning other than truth, how can it be meaning? Right? It's just imagination. So that takes us to, does anybody else have anything they want to say about that before we move on? All right. Then that takes us to verses 22 to 29. Now notice, if you're looking at your book on page 26 or if you're looking at your Kindle or your iPad, chapter 12 in Matthew, and you're finding verse 22 to 29. Notice this goes for a few paragraphs. So whoever reads next will actually read a few paragraphs. You don't stop reading until you hit the next verses in parentheses, right? Until you hit 30 to 32. So is there somebody who would like to read this section? All right. Willingness. Dolores, the mic is yours.
Good evening, everyone. I was flickering in and out when I heard you say, so 22 to 29, and don't stop where, Regina? I'll start reading and then you'll tell me where to stop. Don't stop till 30, 32. Okay, thank you. Through his words, Jesus demonstrated that separateness cannot stand. Through his actions, he demonstrated his words. What is one cannot be separate and live. This is why death has come upon your world. But the good news is that separateness is but illusion, and so death is illusion too. Listen to me. The Spirit of God is one. This is the truth I would have you learn. The destruction of God is the separating of him from himself, but God cannot be separated, or he would not be himself. Who could separate him? Therefore, there has been no sin. There has only been the illusion of sin. This is the truth I would have you know. So it's all just been imagination, huh?
Yeah.
I am going to drop the mic. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. All imagination. And, you know, everything that Holy Spirit has just taught us here in verses 22 to 29, I did not have any inkling of understanding until about halfway through NTI at Ephesians. When NTI Ephesians came, that's when I began to have a true inkling of understanding. In fact, I always call NTI Ephesians my Helen Keller moment at the well. Because if you know the story of Helen Keller, remember Helen Keller, when she was about 6 months old, got sick. And it caused her to become deaf and blind. And so she was very difficult to communicate with. And I think in a way a problem child. She acted out a lot. And so they hired a teacher to come and live with her and teach her to communicate. And the teacher would sign with her. But of course, remember, Helen couldn't see. So she'd sign by having her feel the signs. So like, you know, the teacher would do like the sign for doll and have Helen Keller feel the sign, feel the hand where she was having the sign, and then feel the doll, then feel the hand. And you know, no matter what she did to try and teach Helen Keller that these different signs on the hands were a way of communicating ideas, Helen Keller just didn't get it. The idea of communication was outside of her knowledge. I mean, imagine if you were deaf and blind almost since birth, you really wouldn't even have an idea of communication, right? It's not a part of your experience. So she wasn't connecting. She wasn't connecting that these signs were communication until one day when she was being her usual bratty self. And I think she like threw down a pitcher of water or something while acting out, and the teacher said, that's it. And the teacher grabbed her and grabbed the pitcher of water and took her outside where the pump was and had her pump the water, right? Had her pump the water back into the pitcher. But while she was having her pump the water, she kept, you know, letting her feel the sign for water and sticking her hand into the water and having her feel the sign for water. And all of a sudden, the idea of communication woke up in Helen. All of a sudden, she understood that what the teacher had been trying to teach her was how to communicate with other beings. And when she saw this, she became so excited. And then she began running around and touching things and then holding her hand up so the teacher could teach her the sign for that thing. And then another thing and holding her hand up. And she was, you know, it was literally like an awakening. Suddenly she understands the concept of communication. And now she's ready to learn. Well, everything that is being taught here, the Spirit of God is one. You know, those were just words for me at this point. You know, the Spirit of God is one, oneness. We are all one, right? These are all just words for me. And I had whatever it was that needed to click in me so that I really had an honest understanding that we are one, that we've always been one, and that we can never be anything but one. That honest understanding did not click until Ephesians. And when it clicked for me, it clicked as clearly as the idea of communication did for Helen when she was at the well. So that's why I call Ephesians my Helen Keller moment at the well. But I was halfway through NTI before those words in this section had any real meaning for me at all. And Dolores, the mic is yours.
Nancy was speaking of synchronicity, and you know, as a child, I grew up intensely in the church, and we had to stand in front of the church and repeat the books of the Bible. We had to have Easter speeches and Christmas speeches, and on and on and on. And none of it never made a drop of sense to me. None of it ever. And so I just kind of played along, but even played along half-heartedly. But it's funny you mentioned Helen Keller, because that was one of the, me and my daughters, I played Helen Keller in, not Helen Keller, I played the maid in community theater. But it was about Helen Keller. And me and my daughters, that was the only play I'd ever played in, and I felt so awkward. But funny you mentioned Helen Keller. But so growing up, not understanding this at all, and I didn't get any, I never really understood it until I picked up NTI. And then things started to make sense for me. I mean, you can't imagine. When I picked up NTI, and I remember running to a friend of mine's house in D.C. and like, you got to get this. You got to get this. You got to read it. And I, you know, I ordered it immediately because it was the first time that any of the Bible or Jesus made any sense. So, so tonight, oh, so, you know, I went through the MPP class. And so we've been meeting with Jay on a regular basis for the past few weeks. So we were talking about our practice last night. And when I lived in Baltimore, I had started with a meditation group. Off and on, I've been with meditation groups. But I would never, ever, I would never... We would be required or, you know, suggested that we go home and establish a practice. And my resistance, I have very strong resistance to establishing a practice. I love going with groups and practicing, but on a regular basis in my home, no. So, well, one of the things, you know, that I moved to Knoxville, Regina, and I'm not in Baltimore and all the hectic pace, and there's a park directly behind my apartment. So tonight, and I've been walking regularly lately, because it's quite peaceful, and I have a Fitbit, so I keep up with my steps and everything. But more importantly, it's because, and so Jay suggested, you know, well, just use your walking meditation as your practice. And although I really do know the benefits of sitting and watching my thoughts. I know the benefits of sitting in some place and watching my thoughts, but I've also done walking meditation. So tonight, walking, I was listening and I didn't use my headsets tonight. It was the first time. Usually I'm listening to music, so I just listened to nature tonight. And it was like Helen Keller, you know, listening to all the sounds, feeling a presence of beingness. The squirrels running around, but I couldn't see them, but I could hear sounds. And it was like this communication that I hadn't had before. And you say that tonight, and I wanted to come back and write about it. But anyway, thank you very much. I'm letting go of the mic.
Yeah, thank you very much. I think I understand what you're sharing about the walking in the park and feeling the communication that you hadn't felt before. It's funny because the first time that I experienced something, what, you know, what eyes would call, what the eyeballs would call something else, something other than me, the first time that I experienced something other than me as what I am, awareness, right? The first time I experienced something other than me as me, it was actually a bug. The first time I had that connection and where, you know, it was like awareness with awareness, you know, it was with a bug. And so it's kind of funny where when this begins to dawn on the mind, the truth of what we are, and we begin to, our vision of separation begins to weaken. You know, it can happen. It can definitely happen with nature. You know, with a bird or with a bug or with a tree or with a piece of grass. Or you know, we can feel it there first sometimes. Maybe because you know, we haven't given those things as much meaning as like the people in our lives. We've layered too much meaning on them and who they are. And so it's a little harder for it to break through. But something that we haven't given as much meaning to, we might just look at it one day and accidentally, there's the realization of the truth. So, yeah. All right, why don't we try to finish this page? We won't finish the chapter, but let's try to finish this page. Verses 30 to 32. Is there anyone who would like to read that? Two tiny paragraphs. Okay, then tell you what I'll do. I'll end it for us. Ah, it is not bodies that are one. Do not let thoughts of confusion confuse you. Bodies are temporal and will not last, yet you are eternal, so you must be one. It is the spirit that tells us who we are. It is the spirit that knows our truth. Let go of what your eyes tell you, for surely your eyes will not last forever. What do they know of eternity? Listen to spirit, for the eternal knows what eternity is. And one thing that's interesting is I actually very much had this confusion. Now it's hard for me to even imagine having that confusion anymore. But I was looking at bodies. Like right now, my body is over here sitting in a desk chair, looking at the computer, talking. And Jasmine's body is across my office from me. She's sitting on my purple sofa doing something with a phone and a computer because she's young. They do that multitasking thing. And I used to sit and like look at, you know, like Jasmine across the room from me and try to imagine how we were one, how this body and that body was one. And you know, it was really just very confusing. And then I tell you that the first time I ever really recognized that oneness was with a bug. I just told you that story with a bug. And you know, it's interesting because the bug, as far as the eyes can tell, the bug was just another body, a different kind of body. You know, the bug was just another body. The bug was separate from me as far as the eyes can tell. But the seeing that saw that the bug and I were the same one had nothing to do with the eyes. And I don't know what else you would call that seeing but spirit. I remember I used to be in the military, and in the military we had, you know, all these different policies we had to follow. And we were always told, you're not really following the words of the policy. I mean, to a certain degree you are, but even more you want to follow the spirit of the policy. Because, you know, a policy can't cover every circumstance that may arise. So when you read the policy, you want to learn the spirit of the policy and then follow the spirit in those unique situations that aren't really covered by the policy. That word spirit, I mean, it's not a being. It's an in-depth knowing. Like when you know a policy, you can follow the spirit of the policy. That spirit, that in-depth knowing in me of what I really am, that's what somehow arose when these eyes landed on a bug. That deep knowledge, that deep understanding. And the human voice smiled and said, hi, to a bug that can't even understand the words hi, just because that's what a human does when it recognizes something, right? But the recognition came from spirit, from knowledge, from knowing. And so that's what this is telling us. It's the spirit that tells us who we are. It is the spirit that knows our truth. Let go of what your eyes tell you. For surely your eyes will not last forever. What do they know of eternity? Listen to spirit. But spirit, I think the main point I want to make here, and of course I used to hear spirit in words, obviously, or I could not have written NTI and Inner Ramana. But spirit isn't really words. In fact, what happens, and I was told this as a scribe, I was told that spirit is pure silent knowledge. But what happens with the scribe or with Nancy, like Nancy was saying something about spirit told her. However, I think Nancy also told us it was an all-at-once knowing, and then she has to put it in words, right? Whenever we hear words, that's actually us unconsciously putting the words of our language on the knowledge. And we do that unconsciously, so we think we hear spirit talking to us, but we're the ones that our mind puts the words of our language to the spirit of the communication. The communication itself is spirit, which is equivalent to is true knowledge. And so it's just true knowledge arising. I hope I'm being understood. I know sometimes things are really hard to explain. So I don't know if I'm making any sense to anybody else right now. But spirit is equal to knowledge, equal to truth. It's not a being like a Holy Spirit, like Casper the Friendly Ghost. I used to imagine Holy Spirit almost like a holy Casper the Friendly Ghost, you know, like a being. And there's no such thing. Spirit is knowledge. Spirit is truth. And that's inherent in what we are, because we are truth. So that knowledge is our knowledge. And that's the only thing. When that knowledge arises, then we know what oneness is. Igor says he loves the Casper movie. Yeah. All right. I think we are out of time. So I want to thank you all for joining with me tonight. Remember, next week I won't be here. I'll be traveling to North Carolina, but I will be back in 2 weeks, and I will give Sharon and Lynn an audio to play next week during this time. All right? Thank you. Bye-bye.